everybody, welcome back to Afros and Combos.
Hey y'all.
Hey.
As always, like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on social media at Afros and Combos on IG. Email us at afrosandcombos@gmail.com. Check out the website at afrosandcombos.com. How is everybody doing?
Good.
I'm doing good, girl. Black History Month.
It is. And speaking of, you know, as we said, we are doing all black everything this month. We want to announce that next week we will be talking about Judas and the Black Messiah. It can be streamed where? On Amazon? I might have completely made that up.
I think it's HBO.
Max. It is. HBO Max. That's where it is. Mm-hmm. So it can be streamed on HBO Max. We have given you plenty of time to get out there and watch it. It will be released on the 12th of February. So you'll have plenty of time to watch it before we talk about it. Mm-hmm. So we're excited for that. It's supposed to be really good. All right. This week we are talking about what it means to be pro Black. What does that mean? We have Camille, who is leading this one. Take it away.
And y'all know I love being black and all things blackness. So I'm excited about this one. I'm interested to see where our conversation goes. So, Cook, I mean, you started it off. What do y'all think it means to be pro-black?
I actually had this conversation recently with someone. Because I was describing this guy that I met, and I was like, he's black, but he's also pro-black, which are not necessarily the same thing. And the person I was talking to was like, what does that mean? What is the difference? What elaborate. And I basically said that, I mean, to be black, I mean, you can't, that's not a choice. You are black because you're black. But to be being black is a biological, genetic, that's the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a genetic thing, right? But to be pro-black is a state of mind. It's a state of being. It speaks to you not just being black, but you also having a heart for things that are related to the black cause. You care about the plight of black people. You understand that the black experience is different and is nuanced, and that there is a specific, you know, voice that needs to be lent to that. Like, being pro-black means fighting for things that are good for black people, fighting for the future of black people, like whatever that looks like in different arenas, in different ways. But being pro-black is a mindset. That's how I explained it before.
Yeah, that was good. And even outside of fighting for black people and the future of black people and all of that, I feel like it is also about celebrating being black, celebrating our history, appreciating our history, loving our history, taking control of the narrative of our history, and also just enjoying our present. And also because, you know, there's one, it being black, especially in America, is difficult, and it's a struggle. And I think choosing joy and choosing to be happy and choosing to celebrate the fact that I am black, and that I'm proud of being black, that also is part of, you know, being pro-black. And while I'm fighting for our advancement, while I'm fighting for us to, you know, achieve all, you know, in all arenas, like Drea said, whether it's economics, in the entertainment industry, whether it is just representation throughout everything, while we are fighting for that and to, you know, lower the disparities of our representation in those arenas, we are also celebrating where we are right now. You know what I mean? And celebrating who we are right now. So I think that's also a very important part about being pro-black.
Yeah.
Yeah, said it all. I guess I'll just add, just celebrating our culture. Like, black culture is amazing because of the nuances that we've been through as a people we had to adapt and adjust. And it's so interesting to see the similarities, how we've taken parts of African culture and put a twist on it. I just love how we just turn the negative into positive. Mm. So just celebrating our culture as well. But a follow-up question, does pro-Black mean you're anti-white?
No, not at all. I mean, for me, being pro-Black is a conversation about all things Black.
Which has nothing to do with white people. Right. Doesn't have to do with hating you. Has nothing to do with whiteness whatsoever.
Yeah. I think even that question just seeps out of privilege. So what do you say to those white people who are like, you're pro-Black, you have to be anti-white?
I mean, it's a very all lives matter
type. What about isms?
I've never had a conversation with someone who's white about what pro-Black, what it means to be pro-Black, or like what that means. But that's not true. I've never had a conversation with a white person or a non-Black person about being pro-Black, meaning being anti-white or anti-anything else. I've never had that conversation. But I have had conversations of why is it triggering or wrong to say all lives matter, right? So mm-hmm. I can speak more directly to that conversation. And it was just more about, again, just reiterating that the conversation is not about you. And it's perfectly okay and perfectly reasonable for me to make a statement that is edifying self that has nothing to do with you. And you should be able to hear that and continue on about your life unbothered. Because again, I've not said anything about you. It's okay for if I look in the mirror and say I'm beautiful, you should not feel like I put you down. You're not in this mirror with me. You're not in this conversation with me. Me saying that I am pro-Black has nothing to do with you. So if someone feels, in my opinion, if someone feels like that's anti-white, then I mean, that's something that you need to look on the inside of you to deal with, because you're not a part of my conversation. So I don't know why you feel some type of way.
And in fact, even feeling that way demonstrates the need to be pro-Black, demonstrates the need to have Black things being, integral to my life. Just because, if me saying something that is positive and affirming to me, myself, my people, and you're immediately like, what about me? That's the problem. Like, the fact that you feel the need and you've been told your whole life that everything revolves around you, that when somebody else starts talking about themselves, you are immediately like, hey, what about me? That's the problem. And so
that is America. But Jorea, you can't slide that in and not have me ask you about this conversation of All Lives Matter. Quick aside, what was the context of that conversation? Brief synopsis.
Well, it was a conversation that I was actually having with someone else who is Black, but there were white people in the room. And so there were people who had some questions about some of the things that I said in my conversation with this other Black person that I was talking to. And I mean, when I was having the conversation, we were in a closed room. The conversation was being had out loud. Mm-hmm. I knew that the non-Black people in the room were listening. I wasn't talking to them. I was talking to the person I was talking to. But I wasn't, I'm not going to whisper or be ashamed of the conversation that I'm having because you're here and you're not Black. So there were some people that, they just chimed in with questions. Like, well, why do you say, or one question I was asked was like, so when you say that, was about systemic racism. Like, so are you saying that you think that all white people are racist? I'm like, No, that's not at all what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about the institution. I'm talking about having a government and laws and regulations and cultural ways of being that were built on premises of oppressing Black people. I'm talking about deep-lying roots that trace back to things that people don't want to talk about. And I just like gave examples of like, there are certain things in our dialect, the way we speak, certain phrases that we understand what they mean, even though that's not literally what they mean. Those phrases come from other languages. They come from other cultures. They come from other things, but they have been so intertwined into our culture that hundreds of years later, we still use these phrases and they mean something. In that same way, do you realistically think you can take something like slavery, make it illegal, and think mm-hmm. that there aren't deeply rooted things in our everyday lives and what we do and how we're regulated and what we think that is not directly influenced by that? I think if you think that, that's completely ignorant and naive. And so all I'm saying is, open your eyes and look around, because there are things that were created to favor you and to oppress me. And I'm not saying that you or her or him are racist, but I'm saying that there is an overall umbrella of racism that runs through many different facets of life and that directly affects me in my everyday life. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how the conversation went.
Girl, that sounds like a good conversation.
I thought it was a good conversation. And I think that the conversation was had in such a way that the people that were in the room were people that I knew. And so it was kind of like the space was created for people to be able to ask some questions that under normal circumstances they may have been afraid to ask, or they may not have, like, they weren't going to come up to me and be like, what does it mean to be pro-Black? Right? But because I was having this conversation in an open environment, it was like, okay, well, it's now or never. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I was this question answered, like, hey, I'm going to insert myself and I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to have this conversation, because outside of this context, I may not have very many opportunities to have a conversation like this. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I'm glad you had that conversation, because, you know, we talked about this before on a previous podcast, how we have engaged in different conversations with people who are non-Black, because, you know, some of them aren't necessarily white.
Yeah.
Just about our Black experience and how the system is put against us. But anyway, back to pro-Black. As my co-host so beautifully said earlier, we are celebrating Blackness. We are all about advancing the Black community. And one way that we do that is by shopping Black. So do you ladies shop Black? Why or why not? And why do you think that's important? Or is it important?
I do shop Black. Now, some people, I think, be like all out. Like, mm-hmm. I can't buy a pencil if it wasn't made by a Black person. Like, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. But in general, if I'm not specifically brand loyal to something, say I'm looking for a new product that I've never shopped for before, or I'm going into an arena of purchasing something where I'm not specifically brand loyal to something else, I am going to first look for a Black company to buy it from. I'm going to first look for a way to invest my money in the advancement of a Black community. And then if that resource, I can't find it, or it's not available, or if what's available is not actually what I want, then I'll explore other avenues. But I'm not like, everything that touches my body and enters my home has to be created by a Black person.
Yeah. I'm similar. I think I am much more cognizant and aware of buying and shopping Black. And this was pre when it was hot to do. But I will say that I think that, you know, the resurgence of that and like the magnitude of what that wave brought in back in June and July, in the summer of 2020, mm-hmm. That made a lot of Black owned businesses way more visible, right? Because mm-hmm. you have like like the New York Times is posting lists of stuff. Amazon is posting lists of stuff. All these places are posting lists of places that you can shop Black. So I am definitely way more aware, and I do tend to seek out Black owned businesses before I go to a Walmart or a Target to find whatever it is I'm looking for. So yeah, I do try to shop Black. It is a constant conversation within my household of, oh, we want to, even if we're like going on experiences and going to a restaurant or going on like a, I mean, we live in Atlanta, so experiences can be vast. Like I talked earlier about how I shoot a lot now. So like even looking at Black owned gun ranges, looking at Black owned gun shops, looking to buy and purchase things within the Black community is something that's very important in our household before we make big purchases, especially, but kind of like everyday things as well. Now that the visibility has been way more broadened since, you know, last summer. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm still growing. I do shop Black, but my household is not Black. But I do try, especially with food. Oh my God. I love food and I love Black food. And I love, like, we have this great vegan spot here. I love food. And especially hair care products, when natural hair became a thing and more Black companies, I'm like, oh, this actually works on my hair. Oh, wow. But I still got some dolls soap in the bathroom.
Oh, wow. I mean, I have issues with that.
Doll hand soap?
Other than, oh, doll hand soap. I'm thinking bar soap. I'm
like, oh, no, I use Dove. Oh, yeah. But that's not Black either. I still use Dove.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So, you know, I'm still growing in finding other Black products, but I do try to intentionally shop Black, especially on things that I'm not brand loyal to.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Jerry. What you got?
So we've all stated that we, at some level, take initiatives to buy Black. So let's just say we find a product that we like that fits a specific need. It's a Black-owned company. Okay, we start to use it. We use it regularly. Then that company is sold to another entity, so it's no longer Black-owned. Are you then like searching for a new product, or are you still buying the product you found, or what does that look like?
That's happened to me before, and I will say that I researched somewhere else.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I think one thing that I will say is, I don't know that this has happened every time, but the time that it happened with me, and I was using Shea Moisture a lot, and they sold to L'Oreal, I think.
I don't know.
They sold to.
Sold it?
Oh yeah, they sold. Yeah, it's been a couple years. Yeah, it's been a while.
I bought it accidentally. I didn't try.
But yeah, so I was using Shea Moisture, and the specific line of their product that I was buying, and by this point I don't remember the name of it because they have like so many things in their titles of what they call their lines or whatever. But the formula changed when they sold. So I think because of that, it's like in my head that these big box brands are going to get them, and then they're going to cost cut and cut materials and do all of this to increase and drive up the bottom line. And also, just, it doesn't feel good, I will say. Like, now, no shade to the person who sold, because do you? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I was in the same position, I can't say that if that amount of money came across my, you know, my little inbox and they was like, hey, do you want to do this? And I'd be like, I might have a little time for it, because then, you know, you can free up your time and find you something else to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, no shade. But it doesn't feel good when companies are sitting there and just like lurking. It feels like they like, what this is flying off the shelves. We need to figure out what all the niggas is doing. So then let's buy it to profit off the niggas yet again. Like, that don't feel good to me. So yeah, I will like move around and try to, and I won't feel bad about it because sis already done got her coin. She out. Gone. So I'm not gonna feel bad about it because I'm not taking money away from a Black person, you know, out of spite. You know, she sold, she went on about her business, and I chose to take my dollars on somewhere else. So yeah.
Oh wow. So I can't say that I intentionally leave because of the ownership shifts. But if the product changes, that's when I leave. When it doesn't have the same impact, I'm specifically thinking about how I don't remember the last time I bought a Shea Moisture product.
It probably was when they sold.
Yeah, that's probably, I was like, oh, that's the change. That's not doing the same thing. So when they lose the integrity, that's when they lose my money, not necessarily when they shift the ownership.
Okay, cool.
What about you, Dre?
No, I think I'm very similar. It depends on what the product is, and it depends on how long I've been using it and how I feel about it to begin with. Because sometimes, like, if, say, for instance, let's just say a hair product. If there is a hair product, say, none of them really do exactly what I want them to do, but this one's Black-owned and this one's not. I'm about a Black-owned one just because it's Black-owned, right? Even if it may cost a little bit more. But then if it gets sold, I mean, I'm not even loyal to this product to begin with. I was just buying it because y'all was Black. So, I'm gone. Like, you wasn't doing what I needed you to do anyway. But if it's a product that is Black-owned that I use, that I love, and I am now brand loyal, if that brand is being sold and the quality does not change, I'll probably continue to use that product. Even if the company has been sold, just because at this point now I'm brand loyal, like I actually really like this product and I'm going to continue to use it. Yeah.
That makes sense. I understand it. That's where I'm at. So we talked about how we purchase Black, and I was thinking about this question, but was buying Black something that was taught in your household? And is it something that you're going to teach in your future household?
Absolutely. I'll say absolutely. Yeah, to both.
Wow, tell me.
Yeah. I'm surprised that answer is surprising. But yeah, like, and it wasn't like drilled in me, and every time we went to get something, it was like the Black people on that. Like, no, it wasn't at all like that. But I vividly remember, and the conversations weren't just around buying Black, but I remember watching the Olympics and automatically rooting for the Black people. Like, I remember because that's what my parents were doing, right? I remember watching Miss America and it being a conversation of, oh, which states are Black? Oh, okay, yeah, we rooting for Miss Virginia, right? Like, I just remember growing up with these things being instilled in me that if there is a Black option, the Black option should be your first choice, right? And then, I mean, like, if it's not good, you know, if it's like not quality, I'm not going to just be throwing my money at anything. But if there is a Black option available, and I do recall there being conversations of, you need to support Black people because other people are less likely to. Yeah. And so if you want Black people to succeed, then you have to be willing to support them. I do recall there being conversations about things like that when I grew up. And so again, like, I wasn't beat over the head with I have to buy all things Black, but there was definitely a tone in my household growing up of, we rooting for everybody that's Black, like, in all ways. And so that should be your outlook when you go out into the world.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I mean, I definitely have the story and the conversations around rooting for the Black person in the Olympics and rooting for the, you know, all of that. the pageants, all of that. I vividly remember that. I don't remember, though, conversations around purchasing things from Black businesses. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember that. And even if we did, I feel like that should have been a conversation that I am cognizant of. You know what I mean? Like, because you're doing it or should be doing it with intentionality, and you, you know, communicating that on down to make sure that it gets passed down and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's not something that I can recall being instilled or even talked about for real. But moving forward, yeah, absolutely. It is definitely something that's going to be talked about. It's definitely something because like your parents said, like, that's very real and very true. And now being in my adulthood and looking and understanding how capital works and how access to capital for businesses that are Black owned mm-hmm. is so hard to come by. Like, you have to have this, track record already established, and you have to, beyond just having a business plan and an idea or whatever that a white business can walk into the bank with and get a loan, like, no, you have to show a proven record of profitability and all this other stuff. You have so many other metrics to hit being Black because there's a risk, quote unquote, associated with you. And because of that, I know that by me throwing dollars behind these companies is only going to advance us further, right? And you know, it may advance you to be able to sell to L'Oreal, and that's fine. You know what I'm saying? That's fine, because that's what we need. You know what I'm saying? We need Black generational wealth. Build it, sis. But yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I think it is now going to be definitely a conversation that I pass on to my daughter, hopefully that she passes on, and it just, you know, and maybe we won't even need to have these conversations as often and as frequently because it's just what you do. But, you know, I know that's going to be like not in my daughter's lifetime, not in her daughter's lifetime. Right. It's going to be a little while. But as you keep passing it down, I think, you know, it'll become a little bit more muscle memory, and you just go and you look for the Black-owned company. Maybe eventually our house will be, you know, I ain't gonna say 100%, but like 99.9%. Maybe our toothpaste be Black, our toothbrushes Black, our laundry detergent Black, you know, all that stuff. So Band-Aids are Black. I ain't buy that. We gotta get through this pack we got right now. But was that still? Oh, it's over with. Gone.
But yeah. Well, Camille, you can answer and we can circle back to what Cookie said.
Okay. Don't forget though, Dre.
I'm about to take a note.
But before listening to y'all, I was gonna say absolutely not to the first question of being taught about buying Black in our household. But then as I listened to y'all, I was like, oh, I guess I was taught that. It was just indirect because yes, I was rooting for everyone Black. Mm-hmm. And then I thought about the services that we would render. It was just like, oh, a pipe bursted, call Mr. Johnny. We need the air conditioner fixed. Make sure we call Ted.
No, that's good. That's good. That's a good example.
But I'd defaulted to Black brands. But when I think about it, we didn't really have as many Black brands, or I wasn't aware of them when I was younger. So maybe that's why it wasn't emphasized as much, because all we had were the Black caricatures on our food. But now I can absolutely say that buying Black and rooting for everyone Black was encouraged in my household, and it will absolutely be encouraged in my household for my kids and their kids. And you know, I don't know if I'll be 99.9 like Cookie, but you know, I may get up to 85. We get some Black Tide Pods, you know, come holler at me. I'll get a few of them. But Dre, what were you about to say?
Well, first I want to speak to what you just said. I think that another way that rooting for everybody that's Black and buying Black overlaps, I thought of this specific example when you were talking, was I know that my parents went out of their way to buy things from Black people, even if what they were buying wasn't Black owned, right? Like, your insurance agent is a Black man. No, he don't own State Farm, but we are loyal to his branch, his practice, right? We are going to go to a Black doctor. We are going to go to, like even pharmacy, the pharmacy wasn't owned by a Black person, but the pharmacist was Black, and that's where we went. Like, so rooting for everybody that's Black kind of intertwines with buying Black. But what I was going to ask you, Cookie, related to what you said was, when you were saying maybe generationally, like, it'll just be a thing without it being an afterthought. I actually kind of think it's more likely to go in the opposite direction.
Really? You think it's going to go away?
I think it's more likely to go away just because as interracial relationships become more and more widely accepted, there are fewer like people who are like, my mom and my dad are Black, to where this is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to completely articulate what I'm trying to say. I don't want to say that like it's like the cultural conversations have a greater likelihood of being diluted, I think, as generations go forward and people become more racially ambiguous. So I don't know. I'm interested to see because I ain't gonna be here, baby. I'm going on glory, but it would be interesting to know if 5-6 generations from now, people are more likely to be buying Black, or if there will be a greater sense of equity or equality where that's not necessarily a.
I don't think that last part is true, but I think that because it's going to be interesting because I also feel like the definition of what a Black-owned business is going to change too, right? Like, what is your, like, do you got to be 50+1%? Do you got to, you know what I mean? Like, what do you have to be in order to, because that is an interesting dynamic because it's very true. Like, we are as a country browning, and as our culture, we're whitening because we like the interracialness of, you know, that's an interesting conversation that I hadn't even given much thought to. That's interesting. Hmm.
Yeah, because white will actually be the minority. I forgot what year they estimated. It was like
it's pretty
2038 or something. Mm-hmm. And it was like white will actually be the minority because of all the interracial couples.
Still the majority of power, though, so, you know. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. But before we shift from shopping Black, are there any Black brands that you want to shout out that you are loyal to, that you, maybe Black restaurants, Black services, that you want to give a shout out on this episode?
Well, when I think of brand, like loyalty, to me that means I'm going to buy this, I'm not going to buy anything else.
Mm-hmm. You ain't got one but...
It's not always like that. Like, I mean, like, I for example, one of buying Black, Slim and Husky's pizza place in Nashville, California, Atlanta,
Memphis,
the nationwide, if you order a frozen pizza, they'll ship it to your house. Tennessee State University graduates, so I'm just saying. But anyway,
hey.
I eat Slim and Husky's. Uh-huh. It's one up the street from my house. Eat it regularly. But every time I want pizza, I'm not going to Slim and Husky's. Like, I like Jets too. You know what I mean? So to me, I'm not loyal to Slim and Husky's. Like, is that an accurate understanding of what loyalty means? As far as products?
That is. What are some Black brands that you support? How about that?
Oh, okay. I'm with you.
Well, I can go first. I have a couple, you know, that are ready to go.
Okay.
One that I've been using frequently, and I have a new line out that I haven't had a chance to purchase yet. But and not because she's a co-host or she's my friend, but Guiltless Candles are the bomb. Like, literally, they They light up your whole house.
Oh, thank you.
Entire home.
Your entire home. Like, because I haven't, yeah. I've been savoring my little Christmas scents because I haven't got my new ones yet. But then I try to intersperse like some Walmart candles in between. There is a significant difference.
There is. Like, I ran out. And so I just, like, you know, got a candle from Walmart because I was in the store and I passed the aisle and I was like, oh, I'm out of candles. I haven't ordered, haven't re-upped on my guilt list yet. So let me just buy something to hold me over. When I tell you, I can't even really smell it. It's almost like, I think it's almost like when you eat a certain food and you build a tolerance to it. And then it's like, you go back to trying to eat what you was eating before. And you like, did you season this? I can't even taste it. Yeah. I feel like that's the effect that Guiltless Candles has had on me. Like, it's so just like fragrant. And I'm so used to like, you light it, it smell up your whole house, that going back to candles I've smelled before, it's like, is this thing on? Excuse me. What's happening?
Well, y'all are too kind. If you would like your own Guiltless Candle, check out the website at www.guiltlesscandles.com. That is GUILTLESSCANDLES.com. Okay, back to the show. That was our little ad.
Yeah.
You got some other ones, Camille?
I love Cupcake Collection. So Cupcake Collection is in Nashville and it's in New Orleans. She's actually from New Orleans. They ship all over the United States. I don't know if they do international because I know we have a few international listeners out there. But if y'all ever get a chance to try Cupcake Collection, y'all have to try the sweet potato cupcake. Okay? Tell them Camille sent you.
They don't know Camille. Don't tell them it. You said it like they're going to get a discount or something. Mention my name.
You're not going to get no discount.
They're going to be like, who is that?
But I do love me some Cupcake Collection, honey. But I got a lot of restaurants on here. But they like local. But
I just remember one that I can't believe that I didn't come up with it like immediately. So I found a new hair care product that I've been using, or hair care line. It's now, I don't know if it's like TGIN or TGIN, but it's spelled TGIN. And it's black owned, and it's TGIN because it stands for Thank God It's Natural. Yeah. So I guess it's the acronym. But yeah, I really liked it. It makes my hair soft and, you know, luxurious. And so, yeah, I've been using that because I feel like it's one of those things, like I struggle finding hair care products. Like, it's not easy, like, to find a product that my hair retains moisture like I want it to. But that one does, I mean, it's still one of them, like, like what Drea said before, it's like, you don't do exactly what I need you to do, but you close and you black owned. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? But I just feel like it's very difficult to find. That's like an arena of product that it's just so hard to land on one that is perfect. But yeah, I really like that one. That's the only one that I like can think of that I buy regularly. Oh, a coffee that I buy. It is sold in Target. That's the only place that I found it. It's called Black and Bold. Have y'all heard of that?
No.
So,
I don't drink coffee.
Oh yeah, you don't drink coffee. Yeah, but it's Black and Bold. It's a black owned company. And they actually donate like part of their proceeds to something good. I don't know what, but when I first got interested in it, I did read the package and I was like, oh, this is really cool. They do this too. And I remember I bought it first. I was looking for a coffee bean to grind, and then I saw their packaging and I was like, I wonder if they're black owned, because it
looks like it's black owned. So I Googled it while standing in the store and found that they're black owned, and then found that they donate their proceeds to some great cause. I don't know what it is though, but it's great. And I bought it, and I've been using it as like a pour over coffee experience on Saturdays. So it's been great. I really like it. Mm-hmm, I do a little pour over. Mm-hmm.
Trey, did you think of any?
I did think of when she was talking, thinking about hair care. Oh, crap. Headphones came out. Hair, a product line that I used it when I went on the race, the world race, for you new listeners. And I could only carry one backpack worth of stuff. There was only three hair products that I brought with me. It was a shampoo that I could dilute and use over the course of the year.
Ooh, girl, you struggled.
And some rose water. Okay. And Pampered Pretty is the name of the brand, black owned. Pampered Pretty, what was it called?
Like a custard?
Souffle or something. Mm-hmm. Or custard, maybe. It was some food word. But that hair product, it was like, I mean, but it was everything. I couldn't do no leave-in oil, and I ain't had no lock method or no. It was how much can I get into one product, and that one product got me through that year. So, yeah, that is a black-owned company that definitely came in clutch. Excellent product. Pampered Pretty.
I'm gonna check that out. Y'all gave me some new stuff. Yeah, I'm gonna have to look into that too. I got some coffee I need to try. I got me a little souffle, a custard situation I need to try. All right, so we talked about a majority of being pro-black. We spent a majority of this time talking about shopping black, which is a big part because we love to support our black-owned businesses in any way that we can. But another aspect of supporting black is watching black movies. Do you guys watch black movies?
I, you know, consider myself to be pro-black. However, I don't really watch black movies. I don't. Well, it depends on what it is. And it's so interesting because, oh, this is very interesting. So I was, again, on the world race when not Get Out, but what's the one with Lupita and them scissors?
Us.
That movie, I think it was that movie, came out while I was on the world race. And I went online and bought a ticket to the movie in America. Clearly, I couldn't go see the movie. But for me, it was important to support the film because it was a black film. And so I think sometimes I will extend support in ways that I can't, even if I don't necessarily watch the movie. I feel like a lot of like black movies that I'm familiar with are like biopics, and I don't like them. I don't like biopics, so I don't want to go watch Bad Nobody Life, and no thank you.
Actually, I know a lot of people who do that, who what you did with the tickets, and it's like, oh, I'm not really interested in going to see the movie, but you know, I'm gonna slide a few tickets over there and I'll buy some tickets just to increase their box office numbers and all of that. And that, like, I've never done that because every time I buy a ticket, I go see the movie. But if it was something that I felt like had promise, or that the director had promise, or the like, if it's somebody who I know that, like, because I ain't finna just throw no money at nothing that's like, I'm trying to think of like a terrible movie that's not black, but if it was black, I wouldn't have bought a ticket. You know what I'm saying? Like a movie like that, I ain't gonna throw no money at that. Yes, yes, I'm not gonna buy no ticket to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, because Mm-mm. No, because we don't need no more of them. If that was like, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. But yeah, I think that that is important. If you, if it's something that has potential and that it's like, because it's the same barriers that are in place for us are in place for those people trying to make movies and break barriers and have representation and do this and do that and do this and do that, because the risk is that they're not going to make money. Like the, if you're, if you have an all black cast, if you have a black story, or even if you don't have a black story, but you have an all black cast, like people aren't going to go see the movie, quote unquote. Yeah. So buying tickets for things like that are important, even if you don't go see the movie, because it drives box office, which is the only thing that they care about. So, yeah, that's good. I'm trying to think of like a, I'm generally just not a movie person, period. So I don't have a whole lot of black movies that I've, that I can even think that I've seen recently outside of like Black Panther, like that everybody's seen. So, but yeah.
But documentaries too.
And shows.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And shows.
Oh, I can talk about them. Mm-hmm.
Cause I know for myself, like I have not watched The Bachelor or Bachelorette in years, years, many a season. But baby, when Rachel came out there, I'm like, oh, she black? Oh, honey, I'm watching this season. Watched every episode. Watched every episode of Tayshia's season. Like, literally, I didn't realize Tayshia was taking over someone else's season. So when it started and it was Claire, I was like, what? No. And then when Tayshia came on, and it was all over social media, I was like, oh, that's the same season. So then I went back and watched Claire's episode so that I could understand what was going on in Tayshia's episode. And then even this new season with Matt, ooh, I'm struggling, baby. But my, I will say, my TV is going to play through every episode just because, you know, you ain't about to have no Black Bachelor in it flop. No, you getting my ratings, even though I am not at all enjoying this show. But I'm going to push through, you know. Well, I'm probably not going to push through, but I'll leave the TV on and let it play while I go do something else.
Well, I definitely watch Black. Well, Andrea, something you said just made me like, dang, this is what it is. Because people aren't going to watch these shows because they're Black, or these movies because specifically because they're Black. And sometimes these movies can't perform as well as other movies because their budgets are low. And I'm just like, how do we change that narrative outside of gaining capital for ourselves? But I actually like Black movies. I watch them. Black documentaries, I love them. I love Black excellence. I love the screenplays that come into movies. Fences, I actually will rewatch Fences. I know. I'm that type of person. I rewatched American Son a couple times to see, because we had a episode about this. You guys go back and check that out. I don't remember when it was, but search it on Apple or Spotify, whichever your listening preference is. But I went back to watch American Son because the message was so great, and Kerry Washington's acting is just amazing. I wish our Black actresses got what they deserve, honey, because her and Viola. Anyway, I went back to watch it to see if it was still as good as the first time. And it was. The narrative was the same. So I can rewatch Black movies all day. When the Levees Broke by Spike Lee was so amazing.
Good.
Y'all, there's so many Black movies that y'all should watch and support. Straight Outta Compton was great. Cookie like, no.
No, it wasn't that it wasn't great. It's just like, I can't watch that again. Like, I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, things are good for a time, but.
And I think, yeah, in listening to Camille talk and describe the movies that she's watched and that she watches over and over again, there has been a conversation about Black people only being allowed to play certain types of characters.
Mm-hmm.
And those roles tend to be very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, I mean, I American Sun, that's heavy. Like, I can't just be watching that over and over again. Like, I need some lighthearted, some, no, I can't watch that over and over again. Like, I would be angry with the world. I don't know how you just, and so maybe because Black content can sometimes tend to be heavy because of the roles that get funding when Black people play them, it just tends to be something I just can't watch that over and over again. That's just not good for my psyche.
That's true. That do be sad, though. Most of them, the storyline is very heavy. But some of our Black comedians will get you together.
Well, no, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Y'all check out that Dave Chappelle on Netflix. Shameless plug. It'll bless you.
He funny, but he be talking about heavy shit too, though. It's just like,
it be funny. It be funny. Okay, Well, there's a plethora of other Black comedians on there, so, you know.
And I love Dave Chappelle, but, you know, it's hard because I don't think I thought about it, but what Drea said is very true. Like, what you get, and even when we're talking about some of our, like, triumphant stories, like, 42, that was about Jackie Robinson, right? But, like, his story...
Look at
you know what I mean? Like, I'm even trying to think of like when, because you know it's coming, but you know, when a movie like that gets made about Serena Williams, like it's gonna be heavy in the beginning. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I hadn't thought about that before, but it's true. Like, it's just, maybe that's why I watch so much reality TV, because it's just like, then I can see folks just acting crazy and like, you know, because that's a lot. That's a lot. But I did want to draw some attention to some shows that I watch regularly. Okay. So 100%, I love Insecure. And I think that it has a lot to do with what Drea said. This is a show, like, yes, it is about Blackness, but it is not solely about Blackness. Like, we have, we're talking about relationships, we're talking about sex, we talk about everything, jobs and not being able to keep a job, not being able to keep a man, not being like all of the things that are just about being people, right? Mm-hmm. With Black people. It is a almost 100% Black cast, and it does really good. And it is there's a move, like a culture behind Insecure. It is a, like when Insecure is on, like you can get on Twitter and it's debates going back and forth, baby. Like just all the time. Like Insecure is a vibe. You know what I'm saying? Like Insecure is a vibe. Two Dope Queens. Have y'all heard of them?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Two Dope Queens had a podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think they're really doing no episodes no more. But they got a special on HBO. And that's, again, they're talking about, like, I mean, they're kind of semi-adjacent comedians, but they are, you've seen them?
I know that girl. She was in that one movie on Netflix.
Oh yes, she was. I think this all happened around the same time of when they got this thing on HBO. But I really enjoyed them because it's like they're a different kind of Black too, and it's just like it is the representation that they portray, like being these like nerdy kind of Black girls, and it's like that arena is not fully represented, and so to see them and to see them take off and be on HBO and go on movies and all this other stuff, that was cool. Those are the only two I really really wanted to talk about, for sure.
I gotta check that out. I didn't know Two Dope Queens had a show or a series on HBO. I just listened to the podcast because they used to have some hitters on there. They had Michelle Obama on there, and like that was a good podcast.
Yep, and Lupita was on their show on HBO. I think they had what's the baby that played the flute?
Lizzo.
Yes, she was on there, I believe, and it was making fun of her little with the flute and stuff. Like it's good. It's good.
That was a good podcast. All right, so we cover shopping. We cover some movies. We got to wrap it up with some good books. Like, if you, I'm going to give y'all some time to think about it. If you could recommend a solid book that you think would represent the Black experience or what you believe it means to be pro-Black, what book would you recommend? And this could be multiple books or just good Black books in general.
I know, because I'm struggling with the specificity of that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So just a good Black book.
100% The New Jim Crow.
I knew you was going to say that.
100%, which also reminds me of 13th, the documentary on Netflix. Like, that was really good. And I think The New Jim Crow just explains, like, a lot of the shit that we be talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of the back and forth with the government, what the government did, what we were talking about, what Drea, you said in the conversation that you had around All Lives Matter and all of that stuff, and the laws that were created to oppress us, like, all of that is in there. Plus, it is, it's such a good book. Like, underlying subject matter is the mass incarceration of Black men specifically, but Black people generally, and just like the ramifications and all of the things that come after that. You know what I mean? It is 100% a good book. If you don't read nothing else, you should read that for sure. By Michelle Alexander. Mm-hmm.
That's a good book. Drew, you got some?
I'm just gonna Black books that I've enjoyed, because I don't. Okay. I don't want to say I didn't like your question, but I don't know if I can answer. I don't know if I can answer your question.
But you didn't like my question. It's fine.
I mean, I neither like nor dislike it. I just don't think that I have a qualified answer.
Okay.
So I'm going to choose to answer a different question. Black books. I was gonna say I really liked Roots. Like, I loved Roots when I read it. But this is coming from someone who's read the book but never seen the movies series. I don't know what it was. Never seen it. So I mean, just in general, the book tends to be better. I cried, and it probably wasn't even at the part that I would think most people would think you would cry, but it was the edition that I read was like, I don't know, 20th anniversary or something. So Alex Haley did like this whole extra part at the end that wasn't in the beginning, but he talked about, whether it ended up being true or not, he talked about going back to Africa after having traced his lineage, going back to the village where Kunta was from and standing on that soil, and like what it meant to be welcomed by those people. And just the whole full circle moment of that, it literally made me feel like, when people say that phrase of like, I'm my ancestors' wildest dreams, mm-hmm. like it was actually that. Mm-hmm. Because in the book, it talks so much about how he just wanted to go back home, but he would never, I mean, he never did, but generations later, like, his seed still made it back there. And it was just like, that is so incredibly powerful. And that for me gave me this extra sense of value, right? I mean, also responsibility in some ways, but also just this extra sense of my life is not just about me, but so many people came before me just to be able to afford me to be where I am right now. Like, my ancestors fought to live through slavery just so I can exist right now, right? Yeah. So that, I mean, that reading that book was just very eye-opening to me. But if you've already seen the movie, I don't know if it's kind of like other stuff, or after you watch the movie, if you try to go back and watch the book, mm-hmm. read the book, it's like, this ain't really that good. So I don't know.
Again, especially because the series was really good. Like, I think it's one, I haven't read the book, but it's one of those things where it's like, I hadn't really heard a negative thing about the series. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. outside of the general, whatever commentary was around Alex Haley's book or whatever. But even that, like, that, what you just said, like, I can, like, that moved me because that just speaks to, like, the strength of Kunta, right? And, like, how that travels down, like, that strength and how that travels down generations beyond generations beyond generations for you to make it back, for you to even have the curiosity to trace back and then for you to go back. Like, and honestly, just, like, us, our existence in and of itself is just like, yeah. I mean, this goes back to why be pro-Black? Because, like, my mere existence definitively means that my people were strong. Like, my ancestors survived slavery. They survived the hardships of slavery. And because of that, and because of their survival, I am here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, like, how can you not be proud of that? Like, yes, it is unfortunate that that is even something that we even have to have a conversation about. But damn it, like, with it happening, my people are so strong. Like, how can you not be? You got to be proud of that. Got to.
Yeah, I agree. My book, I would have to say, it's called The Color of Compromise. The subtitle is The Truth About the American Church's Complicity in Racism. And it basically talks about, it's so good. It's so good. It's by Jamar Tisby. Lecrae does the foreword. And it basically talks about how the American church helped create and actually maintain racist ideas and practices. And it starts from the genesis of slavery. Of, like, I remember an excerpt where it talked about how they gave Black people the idea of being saved eternally, but not being free eternally, but not being free in the natural in terms of being property and ownership. Like, it goes from slavery all the way up to today. It's so, so good. I highly recommend it. Hands down, one of the best books I've listened to and read it multiple times. But y'all, this wraps up our pro-Black episode. But y'all definitely check out the brands we've listed. Check out the movies, the shows, the books. They're all good, and they're going to bless y'all. Until next time, we love y'all. Bye.
Bye.